Welcome back to another episode of Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast. We're going to pick up right where we left off last time with Geron falling very, very far.
Geron, you're going to start falling, and as you're falling, you're just going to hear the voice again. You're a side character. You'll fall into obscurity, and no one will remember you.
Am I back in the cave?
No, you're still falling.
Oh.
Hey, you're not done yet, dude.
I'm assuming that I was falling kind of like in a ragged sort of fashion. I'm just going to like switch to a darting down motion to go down as fast as I can.
Just straight to the bottom?
Yeah.
Jerry's got to embrace the heel.
So, as you go straight down, there's no hurry. This is where you'll be forever. Just give up.
I'm going to try and give myself more speed.
I like it.
I'm just going to try and go as fast as I possibly can. Because I have if I got these time powers, I can feasibly, in this illusion, assume I can push the speed of light.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what?
He's tried something.
Somewhere in Elias's personal hell, it turns into Jerry explaining science.
Yeah. What he's trying to say is fast forward.
Yeah.
So you just see the faces of Abaddon flit by you, just hurling more pleas to stop, to give up, and they're starting to get more frantic.
We're going to push it to plaid.
You son of a bitch!
Okay.
Alright then.
He's going plaid!
Oh my god.
This waking nightmare sure is a fun goof.
Alright, so
this is our collective nightmare. Yeah, so this whole thing ends, and then everyone wakes up in New York, like, what, 9 months ago? Elias has just fallen out of the portal, and we realize it was all a waking nightmare.
So, at the very bottom, just taking up your entire field of vision, the face appears one more time. And he is just going to say, "Who do you think you are to escape your destiny of mediocrity?"
I'm the star of my own movie, bitch.
All right.
Jerry slams face first into the concrete.
What would you like to roll for this?
You know what? We've used Arcana and Bluff. Let's go with Intimidate.
All right.
Because he's been getting frantic, so he's getting kind of scared. Here we go. Oh, that's good. That's a 30.
All right. So on that, all at once, you're going to light back up. All around you, you're going to just see a massive, filled stadium. The roar of the crowd is just deafening as you light on fire. Just all the way, your skin just melts away to be replaced with pure flame as you crash through this face.
Oh, hell yeah.
And on that, go back to Elias.
Yes.
So, you're back in the forests.
Yep.
You've been sent off to do some field gathering, some field research.
Uh-huh.
On some lesser fey.
Yeah.
The deadline for that paper is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to find a very rare and elusive species. Lesser species of lesser pixie.
How lucid am I? How dream logic am I working on here?
You're on, like, 85% dream logic.
Right, so there's a little niggling doubt in the back of my mind that says, hey, this doesn't seem quite right.
Right. So where exactly did those live again?
Lesser fey, lesser pixies. They would live in... Let me think. So this is Elias's personal hell. So... Lesser pixies would definitely, within this dream logic, live in my house, in the nooks and crannies.
Okay. So.
Back in my childhood home.
So you're going to go back to your childhood home, and why don't you paint me a little quick picture? What does it look like?
So what happens is I'm in the middle of a field, and I take two steps to the left, and I'm home. I'm at the front door,
mm-hmm.
You know. That's reasonable. I go to the front door and I open it, but all around the edges of my vision, it's blurry. It's that dreamlike aura that you get, where if you turn around too fast, everything goes black, but you're still there. So it's a big door. It gets bigger the closer I walk to it, but then it shrinks back to a normal size. I go to open the wooden door, which has a simple brass handle, and on the inside are several small rooms. All of them have candles in mm-hmm. them. Just simple burning candles. There's no writing implements of any kind except for feather pens.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. In the kitchen is just like regular food, just like bread, water, simple dishes. All of which is sort of blurry. Nothing mm-hmm. nothing is corporeal. Everything looks as if you would reach out to get a closer look at it or see what it's made out of, you can't do it. It's just, that's how it is. So I walk in, I start looking around, and every time I go to look in the corner of my eye, there's a little mote, a little pixie, a lesser fey. But when I turn to look at it, it's gone.
Right. So, as you start looking around, you're going to just feel a hand on your shoulder. Elias, all right. Boy, what are you doing here? Weren't you supposed to be out?
I am out.
No, you're not. You're supposed to be out in the fields, doing your research, right?
They told me to find the lesser pixies, and that's where they are. They're here.
Here?
They're in the corners. They're in the nooks and crannies.
Elias, what have I told you about falling asleep in class?
I start up, and my head feels heavy, and I wake up sitting in a desk. And on the chalkboard, there's long poems and stanzas written about lesser pixies, which is where that dream that I was in came from, I guess. I haven't been paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well
then, Mr. Adelhelm, if you don't have anything better to be doing, why don't you complete the last stanza of this? Come now.
Look at the poems. I walk up to the blackboard, and
the last stanza includes the detail of where they are to be found.
So the scheme of this poem is typical Elvish. It's flowery language. It's like, I don't know, their equivalent of iambic pentameter. You know, really annoying.
Yeah. So, you see it, and the last line, of course, tells you where the pixies are found, and clearly they're found in your house.
Yeah. So, what I do is I walk up to the chalkboard, but I'm going to reach out with the chalk, but it's heavy. Mm-hmm. It feels too heavy to be regular chalk. So I'm going to take it and I'm going to just drop it to the ground. And it's going to break into like a lot of pieces. I can't do it.
If you didn't know the answer, all you had to do was say so. No need to be all dramatic now, is there? Go back to your seat.
I don't go back to my seat. I stand there and I turn to face the professor.
You turn to face the professor?
Yeah.
All right. So, who is he, by the way?
He doesn't have a face. It's like, it's all blurry. It's like you can't look at it. You can't, you know, define what it is. It's like every teacher you've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
The more you look at it, the more incomprehensible it becomes.
So, the teacher in a sort of echoey voice just looks at you, pulls out a small notebook and starts to write in it, and these are the grade reports, and says, "Oh, I seem to have forgotten. Here's the results from that midterm." Hands it to you. You got a D.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a D, because I just copied basically the most basic, you know, version of a poem that you could possibly copy. And when I look at this book...
No, the poem is fantastic. The poem is written well. The information is wrong.
Oh, the details?
The details are wrong.
This is gonna trigger something, because there's no way I would have written a good poem. This is going to hit that 15% of like dream logic breaking down. I'm going to reach into my back pocket,
mm-hmm.
and let me see, perception, I guess. Let me see if I can find that knife.
Sure.
I'll roll perception for that. That's a 30. 30, no. Sorry, 28.
A 28?
Yeah.
All right. So you reach in your back pocket, you find the knife. As you look down at the paper, it just looks like nonsense.
Yeah.
The words don't make sense. It's pure gibberish. But you're still 100% sure that you wrote this.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the knife, and I'm going to just drag it on the chalkboard, making like the most ear-wrenching noise possible.
So, on that, you're going to immediately remember, oh, that's where those Fae live. And that's one of the things that they hate.
Yeah, so I would assume they're going to start swarming out of the chalkboard.
They're going to swarm in, and your thought, right when you wake back up back at home, is I should have studied more. So fast forward, it's several weeks later. Right, you're at home. The big tests are over. And your parents are looking down at you very disappointed. You're not going to be able to make it into the biology program.
I don't like this. I start trying to explain that it doesn't make any sense that written history and poetry should have anything to do with entrance into the biology program.
But, Elias, your scores in biology were the lowest.
See, now that's going to trigger that 15% again. I'm going to look at the notes and the grade reports that I got for biology. I'm going to specifically try to focus on what's in there.
So you're going to see, you wrote a short paper on hellhound physiology, but you completely forgot about the gas sack where they keep the combustible gases that everybody knows about. Really basic mistake. You look at another a dissection report. You accidentally ruptured the flight sac of a land-dwelling jellyfish species. That was actually report. You actually mistakenly did that on a live subject instead of the dead one. You couldn't tell the difference. It's very hard to tell sometimes. There's very embarrassing.
A dissection report. This is throwing up more and more flags in the 15%. If this is my personal hell, then my personal hell is a world where everything is how I would want it to be, but I'm completely incompetent.
Yep. The biology department is incredibly well-renowned.
Yeah, that's a lie. There's no way that's true.
It's very well-respected.
Okay, I'm gonna roll nature here, and there should be a way for me to commune with Specky.
All right.
I'm gonna try and ping Specky because I feel like this is starting to be like I've just noticed that where is Specky?
Mm-hmm.
That is 25.
Okay, on a 25, right? You're going to reach out. You feel you hear a faint meow, and you're going to look down in the bottom of the box here, and you're just going to see a little cat face. As you're going to see a grade on a very nice poem that you wrote regarding the fantastic discovery of the new sentient fungal species found by your good friend and rival, Various Tallnet.
Yeah, that sounds like some absolute bullshit, but it's going to hit me like an arrow of despair and right in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna drop to my knees, and I'm going to take whatever booklets, whatever papers I have, and I'm going to start just ripping them to shreds.
Okay. So you start ripping them to shreds, right?
Yeah.
You start ripping them to shreds, ripping them to shreds, ripping them to shreds. And your parents start to freak out and start to, like, shove you out of the door as you find yourself outside and in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
You're all alone in the dark. You see a pair of eyes off in the distance and some growling.
I'm going to stand up straight. I'm going to take the wyvern skin cloak that I have, that I've obviously always had because this is operating on dream logic. I'm going to take that wyvern skin cloak and I'm going to cut a small section of it with this penknife and turn it into a blindfold. And I'm going to put that blindfold on.
Okay. So you're going to hear this dark, like, deep growl from this thing in front of you.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit cross-legged. And I'm going to start meditating on nature.
Okay. So you do that. This thing is getting closer and closer until you can feel the reverberations from its throat. It sounds like some form of large cat.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out and put a single hand right on its snout or forehead.
Its face is primarily flat and kind of featureless.
Right, I'm going to...
very hard.
I'm going to commune with nature.
So, you feel it, and then you just hear,
meow.
Yeah, I'm gonna stand up. I'm going to take the blindfold off, and I'm assuming that this is like
big Specky.
Astral form Specky, like panther sized.
Yeah.
Same dumb cat face.
Yep.
All right. So if Specky's here, then this is going to start. I assume the dream is going to start falling away, at least a little bit. But I still feel like bad, like just generally bad.
Right.
And I don't know how to fix it.
So you can see off in the distance from the woods. You can see the city. You can see the town. And then you see yourself in the forest alone.
I'm going to light it on fire. I'm going to light
one?
The forest on fire.
The forest?
Yeah, I can't reach the town, but this is nature. This is what I want to study, but I can't do it. There's nothing here. It's all wrong. So I'm going to get on Specky's back, because Specky's like panther size. I'm going to pull out like my flint and find like any dead tree, anything I can find, and I'm just going to light the forest on fire and ride on Specky's back into town.
All right. Fantastic. So the forest catches real quick.
Yeah.
And it's starting to spread, and you're riding back towards the town.
Yeah.
All right. So as you break out of the forest on Specky's back, we're going to switch over to Patton. You're sitting down. You're exhausted.
In the triage of all the people still moaning in pain, thrashing around.
You're out. You're out of everything. You don't have any more sutures, you don't have any more bandages, you don't have any more medicine.
I'm going to drag myself to my feet and look around, see if I can find in this triage a door to the back room, any kind of supply room, because I can't stop. I can't stop working right now. I have to keep on going.
Yeah, you see the door to your workshop.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and just... push on open the doors, walk into the old workshop from back when I was still in the plains.
Mm-hmm.
I could see old notebooks. There's a lot of old prototype things that I was making. You can see in the background, like in the back, it's a complete mess. There are scraps of metal everywhere. Very, very few things are even close to the final stage. It seems like a lot of these, I got to a certain point and something just wouldn't work. And I would just drop it, come back to it later, but end up working on another project. You can see what looks to be like a crossbow that had something with a reload that would not work where I would have the crossbow bolts... and they would just break because the pressure was too high, but I couldn't figure out how to get it right. You could also see two old books, Working in Defiance of Science, and then another book, Anagrams and Alliteration. That book is very large.
So.
I feel like those books should be like proper naming schema for inventions. If this is Patton's hell.
You can all, in my old workshop too, there's a lot of those alchemy supplies, but there's a very noticeable layer of dust on them. Like they haven't been used in a while.
Yeah, of note, you don't have your suit. That's gone. In fact, you don't really even remember what it looked like. You feel your body for a bit, and you get that the feeling that you're forgetting something. But then, oh no, of course, this is just what it's always been like.
Yeah, I'm gonna check out and see if I can. I'm gonna pick up the crossbow, try messing with it again, see if it'll click now, and keep looking it over, try and figure out what's going on with it, and I just can't figure it out. There's something about it that's wrong, but I can't figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, there is something wrong with it, but you cannot figure out what. You disassemble and reassemble it, you don't even know how many times, and nothing.
I'm just going to set the crossbow back down. I'll get back to it later. You know, maybe I'll come back and maybe something's going to click and I'll be able to get through it here. I'll look through some of my
notes.
Okay,
so you set it back down?
Yeah.
You look through some of your other notes and then you come back to the crossbow. And man, it's been a while since you looked at this. It's covered in dust. The metallic bits are rusted. You're going to need to replace those. It's worse off now than when you left it.
I'm going to pick it up again, move it to a different spot in the workshop. I'm going to see, okay, maybe it's the lubricant. And I'll take it over to the alchemy supplies and just kind of take things off the shelf. They're not even properly labeled.
Yeah.
I'm going to try putting things together. I clear it off there. I'm mixing things in these dirty glass containers, trying to get something that'll work. I end up with this kind of thick oil. It's not very, probably not going to work very well as a lubricant, but I'm going to try it anyway.
So you try it. You've only got a little bit left. It doesn't work. And now you're out.
I'm going to put my hands down at my side. Look at this. At this point, I don't even know if I can fix the crossbow anymore. It's all inside the gears. Things are rusted. It might just be completely gone now. I don't know if I can even fix it anymore.
So from out of the corner of your vision, you see a small, like one of those dumbwaiters, right? Ooh. That comes down into your workshop where, you know, some of the local people would occasionally give you food and things. And down from that, you see a blueprint come down.
I'm going to go over and look at the blueprint there, hold it up, and see if I can see what this is all about here.
So you're going to see a very blatant mistake. Your gearing system was completely wrong. But this person, they fixed it. And you've got the blueprint. So that's great. It's awesome. Patented, though. Patent Devante Sowards.
Well, whoever Devante Sowards is, this guy's alright. This guy seems like he's getting it. I'm gonna apply this gear system on there, but the crossbow's still... It's better off than it was, but it's not still functioning yet. And so I've got one piece of the puzzle in there. And I'm going to see if I can, I'm going to look around, see if there's another blueprint coming down.
Full disclosure, this is one of the bits where things did not go as planned.
Mm-hmm.
So, down from the dumbwaiter, you're going to see, kind of curled up in the dumbwaiter, you can kind of ride down these things.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see that woman come down from the Thanali Institute. She's going to kick her legs out and sort of gingerly jump down. Oof. Hello, Patton.
Hello. How did you get down in here?
How? Do you not know?
Well, I may not know a lot of things, but I do know that this is kind of out of the way. No one really just kind of drops by for no reason.
Drops by? But we're always here. As she's going to walk closer to you, and you're going to see the face kind of shift into first an older man's face, then a younger woman's face, then to a rather large, sort of square-jawed man. And it's just going to say, "We're waiting for you, Patton." And it's going to vanish.
Whoa.
Then in front of you, you're going to see a door.
All right, I'll go ahead and I will grab my half-finished crossbow to take it with me and continue and go ahead and go through this door here.
Okay, so you go through the door. And so, here, let me cut back so I can explain for you guys. This is a point in the recording for you guys where Patton does actually genuinely stare off into space and go blank. So you go down the hallway here. And at the very end of the hallway, you see an auto dock machine. It's filthy. It is covered in blood and dust. It looks like it's barely functioning. But you know that you need to get in it.
I'm going to go ahead and slowly approach it, look at it, just see that there's all the kind of scoop out some of this dried up blood if I can, scrape it off, make it as clean as I can, delaying me getting in the machine.
Mm-hmm. So, as you're delaying, you're going to see the connection cable move on its own and just slam itself into the back of your neck. As you're going to see some, you know, a status window pop open with just a installing important updates and a status bar. And you're going to hear, "Isn't it nice to be back?"
I guess it is. It is nice to be able to think clearly.
Just remember, you're nothing without us.
That's... Now that's not entirely true. I have my own workshop.
No,
I've got
here.
I've got my own... I've got... Didn't you see all those great things I had working on in the workshop? They weren't done yet.
All ideas borrowed from minds greater than yours.
And so what? So what if they're borrowed from someone else? Why does it matter where the ideas come from? All that really matters is that they're out there.
If it didn't matter, why do you put so much stock in what is yours, as opposed to what is not?
Well, way I see it, if I make something and people know about it, they know that it's safe, it's reliable, and that it works.
So you're just going to see flashback visions to various crashed cars, explosions, electrocutions.
Now, every single one of those was
popping
patent.
Up in the video feed.
They were patent pending.
Are you trying to argue legalese on this?
Every single one of those, it's prototypes upon prototypes, all working towards one grand finale.
When you find what that grand finale is, please inform us ahead of time.
the way that I see it is maybe I'm not good enough to make these on my own. Maybe I have to rely on shortcuts or cheating or using someone else's basis or filling in the gaps. But so what? So what? As long as I can make something that makes the world better or works to help someone in need, it doesn't matter if it's 100% my idea.
So this whole time when Patton has been doing this, he blanks off into nowhere and he seems to be talking to somebody. Like, he is saying all of these things out loud. And as the lights come back on in the eyes in his suit, you're just going to see, as you sort of come back to reality a little bit, you're going to see a small chat status window that says, "We are in need of help. And also, we hope this was useful to you."
The screen is, now it's finally done. It'll blink, have that picture of the Raven, Dr. Patton's patent-pending logo there. So my eyes kind of flash back on.
And it says, "Update complete." So, you see that? And it is very clear that whatever software or whatever is in Patton's suit just tried to help with the scene setting.
Patton's going to jot this down in the important journal. That one has an exclamation mark on it.
Yes.
And am I still in the workshop there? Am I still near that triage? I need to get back there. I need to help those dudes.
As you see that, as the chat window is now flashing on your screen, and your little icon comes up, update complete, you find yourself sitting at the base of the cave, on the outside of the cave. As we go back to John. So, John, you're holding Lazarus, right? You're standing on this cliff precipice. You just saw Giron fall into the abyss.
Sure did. That sucks.
You turn back to see Lazarus. He looks at you and he just scowls.
You all right, Granddaddy? I gotta go after my friends.
Boy, this ain't no movie. This ain't no game. Those are lives. You ain't saving them now. You made your choice. You picked me. Why?
Well, I mean, you always been there for me, so I figure I gotta be there for you, too. We're family, after all.
You damn fool! They trusted you. I'm an old man. I done my time here. Well, you're just gonna keep me along here just to suffer more? That was my chance. When are you gonna grow up?
I'll save them too, Granddaddy. Just you watch.
No, you won't. He's gone. Don't you get it? You can't take back what you do. You can't put a bullet back in a gun. You can't bring a life back.
I'm still going to jump off the cliff and try to save them.
All right. So, you're just going to jump off of the cliff?
I'll be back, Granddaddy. And I'm going to hop off and attempt to save my friends, who are still, I assume, screaming at the bottom of the cliff. Kind of below some abyss.
Yeah, you hear the faint voices, but then you hear them stop. One by one, you hear them stop. As you you hear back behind you, don't matter how many movies you watch, you can't go around playing cowboy with other people's lives.
Well, they ain't gone. They can't be.
Wait, what did you say?
They ain't gone. They can't be.
Ah, I see. My bad.
What did it sound like I said?
Yeah. I literal gibberish. I didn't understand a word.
I see my accent has improved.
Yeah. Unintelligible.
You can't do that to people who live in the South.
Right?
Quote unquote, people.
Damn it, Dad.
That's fucked up. That's fucked up.
Since we're laughing, so you can't put a bullet back in a gun. Yes, you can. I reload my guns all the time.
That, you motherfucker. That's a different bullet.
You know, I'm still jumping off the cliff, though. There's no way these guys are dead. I have to go save them.
They're gone. Someday we're all going to be. Someday I'm going to be. Where will you be then? Still running around without a purpose?
But I got a purpose. We're going to save the world.
Are you? You sure you're doing the right thing? Sure seems to me like a lot of pain's been caused.
I always try to do right, but if I ain't done right by you, then I don't know.
John, doing right by me don't matter. You keep looking back at me, you're gonna miss what's in front of you.
Literally miss in the case of Jerry falling past him.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what he's doing. Just staring off into the abyss, very sad. Not sure what to do, because my friends aren't screaming anymore. Which normally is a good thing, but in this case, it's bad.
You're going to hear that the platform that he's standing on crumble. And you're just going to hear a body start to fall.
Oh, shit.
What do you do?
All right, so is this platform that I'm standing on too, or just the part that he's standing on?
The part that he's standing on. You're falling down back into the abyss. You hear him behind you start to fall.
I mean, I've already jumped, so...
Do you turn back? Do you look back?
I mean, no, I think I've learned something here.
Hopefully. Maybe.
So, you're going to hear the sound of a body just slamming into another one of those cliff faces. You know, that sort of dull thump.
I mean, I've done everything I could for him. I got other people I have to try and save now.
All right. So, on that, you're going to see down in front of you, big ol' light. It's going to get smaller and smaller till it looks like you just about reach out and grab it.
It looks like something I can grab?
Yeah. Just okay. This ball of light.
Guess I tried grabbing it.
All right. So, it is incredibly hot. And also, it just feels like it saps the life right out of you. And you're struck with an immediate and certain realization that if you hold on to this, you will die, but your friends will live.
I keep holding on. Hopefully they'll find a way to save the world without me.
So you hold on, hold on, hold on. And then, so everybody else, the three of you guys, Elias comes crashing out of the weeds, strapped to Mavala Jr., sort of lashed to it on Specky. Giron is on fire coming out of one of those. Not like you're all of your skin, just like regular on fire.
That's good.
Patton is sitting up on the at the edge of this cliff. There are no locusts in sight, and you see John propped up against the wyvern with his arm in its mouth, and he looks to be unconscious.
John or Elias?
John.
He said John.
All right. If I'm backed, if I'm snapped back to reality, and
you son
some,
of a bitch,
if there's some, I'm not finished.
What is the current status of gravity?
Yeah. God damn it, Tad. I was gonna do that.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna do that, and that's why I didn't want to let you.
The lowest hanging fruit is often the sweetest.
Fucking put that on a t-shirt. Revival. The lowest hanging fruit is often the sweetest. So if I'm back, I'm gonna ride Mavala Jr. right up to John.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna look at this wyvern again, because all the locusts are gone, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like this has all been part of some sort of weird vision. So does the wyvern look normal now?
Yeah.
No scorpion tail?
Nope.
All right, I'm going to run up to John and try and pull his arm out of the mouth of the wyvern.
All right, so when you pull his arm out of the mouth of the wyvern, you see clutched in his hands, you see a small bag. Mm-hmm. Really not so much small. It's a like a cloth satchel. Like a fairly large satchel that he is gripping.
Is he like freaking out or?
No, he's unconscious.
No, but I mean, like, is his grip just
it,
like knuckle, yeah, he, you know, like white knuckle?
White knuckle, yeah.
All right, I'm gonna try and pry the bag out of his hand so he can drop it free to the ground.
Okay, so on that, you notice immediately that when you put your hand next to it, you feel terrible. Like, more so than being in a mana void, it's like your arm almost stops working when you get too close to it.
Hmm. My intuition is that this is some kind of mana-absorbing crystal, then. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
All right,
it seems
I'm
to be a bag of a powder of some kind.
Oh, a powder. All right, then. I'm going to basically treat this like anthrax in a post office and back the fuck off.
Patton's got that wooden stick for keeping people away, because I'm just going to kind of poke at it from a distance.
Okay.
We're going to try and get John's hand off of the bag. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, Patton gets his prod and stick out. You can kind of get it underneath his hand and just pop it out.
Mm-hmm.
And right when you do, his eyes pop open.
How am I feeling?
Pretty bad. But now that the bag's out of your hand, pretty good, actually.
That sure was a trip, I'll tell you what.
John, do you have any idea what this substance is?
What substance?
Or where it came from? This bag you were gripping? Some kind of satchel? I'm not sure.
Don't know.
So, you look at it, you have no idea what this is, but the one word that just comes immediately to mind is abyss.
From the abyss, I suppose.
Well, given the, visions, I assume that we were all just subject to. I would think that we should probably keep our distance from this, but possibly treat it as a potential artifact.
Could be useful.
Yes, well, I'm not sure how useful something that we can't really touch is.
Am I still very much on fire?
You can put yourself out.
Oh, okay.
You know, stop, drop, and roll.
Jerry's been on fire in the background, realizes he's on fire, stop, drops, and roll.
Ah, crap. He's got some resistance. He's fine. You know, it's just ongoing five, and he can sponge that. So, you look at it, and it's kind of got this this little light shimmer to it, sort of like it sucks in light.
Oh, that's good.
It's like a little mini curvature black hole effect.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you know, that's good.
That's safe,
right? So. From out of the thistles and okay, yeah, so from out of the thistles you're
Hang
going
on.
To see
I have an idea though.
What?
I want to take the I assume I actually have that wyvern skin, right? Still
yeah.
draped on my back. I'm gonna use yeah. the wyvern skin or wrap it up because that stuff absorbs like magic shit.
Yep.
I'm gonna like grab the bag real quick, toss it like knapsack style, tie it up in the wyvern skin.
Oh, here, it's a better idea. Make it like a hobo bindle. Here, use the stick.
Yeah, like that. Use the stick.
Wooden stick for keeping black hole powder away.
You're going to see from out of the thistles there, a man comes walking out. And he's just going to
describe the man.
He looks to be in his mid-40s. You know, kind of gaunt, short, bushy beard, streaks of gray, black beanie, lab coat.
I suppose we all stare at him and...
He's sort of hunched over with his hands in his pockets. It's Abaddon. As he walks up. I'll be taking that. I am the king of the abyss. That is rightfully my property. As you're going to see the shadow extend from his foot, engulf the bag, disappear. And then he is just going to bolt off into the thistles. This all happens in just like a snap.
Patton will kind of see the dude's running out there and try and take a shot with the crossbow to try and ignite some of the plants in front of him, see if I might be able to slow him down or something.
All right, so you set some of these plants on fire.
I'm going full auto with it too. I'm trying to burn out, trying to block his escape route.
Yeah. So you go for that. You can vaguely see a shadowy figure running through the flames here.
Mm-hmm.
But you see a small flash of white powder, and the flames get entirely absorbed by it.
That's not good.
So, this is going to be a skills challenge.
Yowza.
As you need to hunt down Abaddon.
Alright, so we roll for our initiative then.
Yeah, but I mean, it's 3 a.m.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Oh man, that's pretty good.
I'm gonna do something cool.
I've yeah. gotta pee really bad. Speaking of peeing really bad.
That was Dungeons and Dragons, a Revival Real Play podcast.
I almost didn't identify that as wrong.
Right?
You could make the argument that there were, in fact, 4 dungeons in this episode. And a wyvern's a kind of dragon, so I think we finally...
Yeah, it's like a half dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
This is we're the closest thing there. It has been to literally Dungeons and Dragons.
So says I.
No, it's not. The first episode is, because that has a literal dragon in it.
Shut the fuck up.
Wow, okay, hostility.
Yeah. How dare you speak to me, Michael?
My name's Tad, and I do D&D math as Dr. Patton Nordstrom. You can find the podcast on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, on Twitter, at LetMeTellYouPD, on the website, which is LMTYA.com. You can find links to all that good shit on there. Send emails to the show for Jerry to answer it. Let me tell you about tututu@gmail.com. That's let me tell you about 3 T's, because otherwise it wouldn't fit. And Matt.
I'm Matt. I play Jerry. You can find me on Twitter at LMTYAMatt. And you can also find me on iTunes on The Sweet Life of Matt and Cody. That's Cody with a K, because he's weird like that. And Tim.
Tim. Hi. I'm Tim. I play John. You can find me on our Discord. Come talk to us on Discord. And one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Wow!
Speaking of woe, Dan.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, hey, people.
I'm Dan. I'm the... Hey, people. Yeah. The Dungeon Master. You can find me on the Let Me Tell You About Discord in the Revival channel. Please come talk to us. You know, if you got a game that's going down the drain, tell you what's wrong. That happens often.
Oof.
Why are all of my players killing each other? You can also find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/bro_operatives, where I play video games, co-op video games, fighting games, stuff like that, with my brother Michael. Take it away.
Oh, that's me. I play Elias, who is hopefully becoming cooler as time goes on and not just really lame. I killed a wyvern. I'm just putting that out there. Like, single-handedly. Nobody else did
shit.
Yeah,
but you're also, like, an atheist.
Everyone says it. Is that
He's
true?
He's got a fedora.
Shut up. Shut up. You can find me also on the Discord. Sometimes I'm also on Twitter at PoltFan69. Just don't fucking bother. It's not a big deal. It's all in Japanese. I stream on Twitch with Daniel, too. That's, you know, he's the DM. It's cool times. Thanks for listening and, you know, watching and shit. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
We love all of our viewers.
And with that, we'll go ahead and we'll end this episode of Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast. See you guys next time.